HSN Live with Dave and Ken, right here on Pickup Country 104.9 FM, streaming live at listenlikealocal.com or on your mobile device with the free WSKV app for Android and Apple users. Tonight's program is made possible in part by Whitaker Bank, Powell County CSEP, Mercy Health, Appalachian Wireless, Citizens Guarantee Bank, Clark Regional Medical Center, Toyota Sound, People's Exchange Bank, Whitaker Insurance Group, Protect Security and Fire Systems, and let's join Ken and Dave for PCSN Live from the Stanton Studio.
Good evening and welcome everyone to another edition of PCSN Live here on WSKV 104.9 FM. As I try to get my headset set because I didn't have it on. I was talking.
It happens.
Imagine that, right?
Yeah.
But again, welcome to another week of PCSN Live here on WSKV 104.9. Would again like to thank our sponsors, and also mention that if you still would like to sponsor, I'll say this every week, if you still would like to sponsor, it's not too late to get in, and you've got the entire boys and girls basketball season, plus baseball and softball in the spring. So quite a bit of broadcast time left, and I think they would do you your contract for a full year, so at least you get the next fall season as well, because I think they're rolling over to 12 months, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct, yes.
So again, the price is a really good price for advertising. Some may think it's high, but when you compute all the hours that you get and the minutes and the ads that you get for what you are paying for, it's relatively cheap.
Yeah, very inexpensive. So, a lot of bang for your buck.
Yeah, so you can give me a call, you can give Ken a call, you can give the studio a call, work during business hours, and you tell them you want interested in the sports package, and they will work something out for you, and we'll be glad to have you on our programs.
On our sponsorship, exactly, yes. Yes.
Tickled to death to have more sponsors. So, again, we need some more sponsors to make it more possible to bring you all the things that we will bring you throughout the season. We'll bring them to you regardless. But to make it more cost-effective for the station, we'd like to have some more sponsors. And, again, for what Ethan does for our community, is he doesn't get rewarded enough, and I'd like to see him make money versus break even or lose for what he tries to do with our coverages. So
correct. Yeah, you're exactly right. Yep, definitely do that. We're going to kind of do things a little bit unconventional tonight in this regard. Not a whole lot to talk about. We're still a couple of weeks away before the start of the basketball season, so we thought we'd kind of just go back just a little bit to talk about high school football. The playoffs still going on at this point. So in 1A, Ludlow will be at Kentucky Country Day. Middlesboro will be at Pikeville. Newport Central Catholic will be at Campbellsville. And Raceland will be at Sayre. So you're down to the final eight teams at this point. So that's your 1A. And then in 2A, Greene County at Owensboro Catholic. Lexington Christian at Mayfield. Martin County at Beechwood. Shelby Valley at Somerset. And Central at Christian Academy Louisville.
Go Mike Stace at Beechwood, right?
There you go. And then at the 3A level, East Carter at Bell County, Lexington Catholic at Rockcastle County, Union County at Hart County. So that's where you are as far as the 3A. I think what's kind of interesting, some of these teams, though, like teams that we saw anyway, thought, oh, they probably make a big push and a big run, but those teams are not.
So nobody's there?
Not showing up. No, the teams that we played.
So what happened with Belfry and
Belfry got beat by Bell County.
Okay.
That was that one. And then who else? Let's see. Estill was eliminated
early
on. Menifee was eliminated early on. Lawrence County was as well.
McGoffin, you mean?
Armagoffin, yeah. Some of those teams, even going back to, not Fairview, but
West Carter or?
Yep.
Really, nobody did well then, right?
Correct, yeah. Kind of surprising in that respect. But nonetheless, you know, obviously the best teams.
Well, we do know Bell County is pretty good. Bell and Belfry have a big time, a long rivalry.
Yes.
But when you mentioned those teams, that's where Powell County is in 3A football. Now,
right.
3A is pretty dang stout historically. Some of those teams that are even not in it anymore, that's probably one of your strongest battlegrounds, I would think, the 3A and the 2A is as well, but I think the 4A is really solid. That's some bigger schools, but what Powell County has to go through to get to that point, woo.
And this is just your final eight.
Final eight, yes.
You know, and again, those teams that we saw early on in the season that were winning big and had great records just ran up against tougher competition.
2 weeks away before we talk about the state playoffs, right?
Right.
So it's still two rounds to go.
So I'll move on to 4A. So you have Bardstown at Franklin County, Corbin at Boyle County, Johnson Central at Covington Catholic, and Spencer County at Paducah Tillman. And then in 5A, Cooper at Southwestern, Fairdale at Bowling Green, North Laurel at Highlands, Owensboro at Atherton, which is out of Louisville. And then in 6A, you have McCracken County at Trinity in Louisville. And let me scroll down here, and because I follow Trinity. Central Hardin at Ballard, Frederick Douglass at Mail, and Ryle at Bryan Station. So you got
three Louisville area teams, right?
In 6A, Ballard, Mail, and Trinity. And then the other three would be, or two of the other ones would basically be out of Lexington, Frederick Douglass and Bryan Station.
It's nice to see some of those other schools in there. Again, you get 5 and 6A football, you're talking about student bodies of around 3,000, some of those. So those are your big boys. But not always the best team, but usually they got the numbers. You're sitting on the sidelines, you got 70, 80, 90 players. You're looking at, you got a team of offense, you got a team of defense, you got a team of special teams, you got backups for those.
JV teams.
It's more like a college type program.
Sure.
And it's good to see those programs succeed. And again, the smaller teams usually don't have, you know, 30 or 40 kids versus them. So, and again, there lies the classification system for football, the only sport that has a state playoff for classes. Right?
I agree, yes. And I like that because football is a whole different thing. I think when you start doing basketball, baseball, softball, playing field's a little bit more level, just based on sheer numbers alone, where you can truly develop players. Like we're thrown in, where Coach Jones, you know, at this point, I mean, sometimes you're having to start freshmen, sophomores, whereas if you're at one of these, you know, larger schools, all of a sudden those freshmen and sophomores, they're probably not going to be getting into their juniors and seniors.
It's kind of like this. If you're a freshman and starting, your team is probably weak.
Correct.
Because if you're a freshman and you're starting on these teams, you've probably already signed a D1 commit.
I mean,
if you're that good, you probably are, and they probably already know who you are. So,
right.
Again, freshmen don't usually get to play a lot at the bigger schools. Here at Powell County, you might play, but you probably aren't ready. So that's just kind of word of the wise for the group that's coming up next year that went undefeated for a couple seasons here at Powell County. You got a long way to go. It's not just putting high school pads on, changing from middle school to high school, and it's going to click day one,
right?
Because you got a lot of work to put in to catch up.
And hopefully, under the circumstances, all of those players at the middle school that played in the eighth grade stick around all the way through you graduating, right? At that point, I think therein lies part of the problem that we have as far as retention of numbers. A lot of kids start to drop out when they get into high school for whatever reason, and, you know, we need bigger numbers.
Yeah, if the entire class came out, you got 15, 16 coming in, you repeat that next year, you got 15, 16. Now you're talking about a roster size of upwards around 60, 65.
Right.
Now you can start
working
other kids in and keeping people fresh for games. You still might not have, you might not change anything. You might still keep your best 11 on the field.
Sure.
But you have more opportunities to do that if you've got more kids.
It's right. And you have to have the
numbers,
talent.
Numbers game. And again, the more you have, the more you got to suit up. And we've talked about this before. Football is very expensive. But we went to places this year where the facilities were state of the art. They got newer.
It's the best overall. Newer.
Well, it's the biggest money maker.
True. Yes. Yeah. And I think even facility wise, when you look at some of the places that had these facilities, unbelievable, mm-hmm. right? And they had the fan support. Obviously, the gates were pretty big. You know, when you have a new facility, people want to come out and see it. Everybody gets excited about it.
Yeah, I don't think we didn't go to a place to play this year that was not turf. And
exactly
most of those
right.
places had nicer facilities upgraded. And again, ours was new in 1988. A lot of these programs were new back in 1950. They're revamping over to other
right.
updated stuff, and they're getting those updates here in the last 4 or 5 years. That's the difference. We just haven't maybe been around long enough to really update,
but at this point, we're going to have to. 35 years, roughly.
It's long enough.
Yeah, well, it is long enough, especially when everybody else is doing it. And who knows, maybe that does garner some more interest. When you look at the facilities and the fields and the colors and all of that stuff, I mean, beautiful.
Well,
who wouldn't want to play on it?
I have this discussion all the time with a lot of my friends. This was the football field, the track, I guess even the softball field. That was all done around 1988. We've really done nothing new to those facilities
since then.
We had an addition to the weight room. We have done a few refurbs to the football field, but really nothing to the track. Well, there's been some changes to the softball field, but really the field-wise, there's no changes. You know, the track, you can't even run a meet on it because it's not a legitimate track. Now we added soccer here a few years ago, and our football field is not big enough for a regulation soccer field. And there's a lot that needs to take place to be able to catch up. And it's going to take some money and a commitment for someone to, all right, we're going to bite the bullet and do this. It's going to be an expensive overhaul, but I'm not just saying it's just because neighbors did it. We do, but when all your neighbors are doing it and you're not, then there's maybe something you need to look at.
And at some point, you better, right? We're not getting any closer to what everybody else is doing.
And I will say this as well. Some of the teams that are doing stuff now may not have football, but they're enhancing their other programs.
Right.
Did you see the new rendering at Wolf County?
No.
I'll give you a quick breakdown of it. It's an indoor facility. It's a full regulation size basketball floor / volleyball floor. Two batting cages. You have offices, a new weight room, all in one building, going to sit between the middle and the high school. And it's new state-of-the-art upgrade. So they even have a video room that you go into. So that's happening in Wolf County. And again, we talk about this all the time with basketball. Our basketball high school kids only have really one gym they can practice on. That's a regulation floor. Our middle school only has one floor they can practice on because theirs is a little bit smaller, but the elementaries are too small. So they have one facility. And now you have all your teams wanting to practice in their off seasons in those same facilities. We just don't have enough space here.
Right.
You know, the least we can do is get a facility like what's going on at Wolf County. What's other schools have it now? The indoor facilities. That's something else that, like, man, I saw the rendering on Facebook. I'm thinking, wow, this is nice. They're spending their money, you know, for the kids. It makes them look better. It enhances their program. It makes kids say, wow, maybe we go there. You know, if you're looking at a kid that's wanting to maybe play a sport and have multiple facilities to go to and opportunities like that, it'd say, let's do that. It's really going to be a nice looking facility there at Wolf County as they move forward. So again, they've been doing some improvements here in the last few years on their baseball field, softball field, their gym. They need an upgrade. They do need some upgrades there in Wolf County. But man, it just brings pride back. You know, you look at what Perry's got, Hazard, new stuff there, and you know, Knott County with the Sportsplex, all the things they have going on there. The facilities at Eastern Kentucky just far surpass what we have here. You can't ask for the city to have all of our fields and playing places.
Right.
It's not really their responsibility. You know, it's the school's responsibility to provide for the kids. So we got to step up.
And the city has definitely done a great job.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you look at everything that's there now compared to what it was 20 years ago.
Well, you know, they want to try to do other stuff too.
Sure.
And new enhanced stuff to make things better. And But some of that stuff, I really think the school is should be responsible for.
Agreed.
Shouldn't just rely on maybe the city to get it done. Is we got to get it done.
But we can't continue to miss opportunities, even going back to the city. This goes back decades ago at this point. But the city had an opportunity to do a match and get in on a restaurant tax where the state would match.
Mm-hmm.
We missed the deadline. And then they tried to get, let us get grandfathered in because you knew we wanted to do this. It doesn't work that way. So we missed that opportunity. Same thing with the nickel tax. I mean, it's like it goes on and on.
Yeah, we got the nickel, but not the matching nickel.
Correct. And therein lies the problem. Like under the circumstances, like we have to be more diligent when it comes to those opportunities. And unfortunately, as a county and our community leaders, that's not happened. And we've only hurt ourselves. And ultimately, that hurts our kids. That hurts the community. It hurts our ability to grow and attract industry. We don't really have any true industry
well,
to speak
and
of.
We have, and now this is going to get political real quick here, I guess, but you know, how many years have we heard we need sewer and water?
Oh, forever. As long as I've been here. I've been here for over 30 years at this point.
We've heard it. Every county judge we've heard it from. We know what the issue is, why we can't bring other people in. Fix it.
Do it. Right.
Put your taxes in place. Fix the issue.
Right.
It's not like it's rocket science. You know how to fix it.
Just fix it. Just fix it. Realizing that who knows how many millions of dollars, which, you know, the government monies that are spent on stuff is ridiculous in and of itself because everybody has to get a hand in it. But at the same time, make the investment, and then at that point, we get the industry, potentially, and therefore you're able to help repay back whatever potential loans that you end up getting.
If you're the county judge, if you're Eddie Barnes now, how are you a grant writer? Pay him $50,000 a year.
The Industrial Authority had one here in Powell County, and we're paying them probably over $50,000 a
year. Well, I'm just saying, but if you pay someone that kind of money to just write grants, go research, go find grants, you got to bring me some money in to get your money. But
right.
Even if you go on a percentage basis, we'll give you some money out of those grants if we can. But that's where you find a lot of free money. You know, and if you look back at the baseball field, I know people will complain about lights. You know, 1981, that was really nice. And lots haven't changed since 1981, but that was a really nice facility back in 81. It's still a nice, to me, it's still a nice surface. The playing surface is nice. The lights are terrible. But lack of upgrades for almost, we're talking now 43 years. Those, no upgrades, those lights. It's just, I'm not knocking the city. I understand it's expensive. If it was up to them, they would turn that into something else other than running the high school baseball field. But
that's understandable.
But that's where
the school
has got to kind of, like, we want our own field.
Right.
You know, you don't go places anymore, hardly ever, where a school doesn't own their own field. That doesn't happen very often. I know we go to Berea. They have play at the city park. It doesn't happen. I can name it on my hands how many people play on city parks anymore. Not many.
Right.
But it's great we got what we got with the city. We need more for the schools. And I know we were talking about football and got off on this tangent, but that's what kind of gets you there. You know, we need more little league fields. We need more for football. I mean, maybe not more, but you got to have practice facilities to preserve what you have. Even if it's a half of a field, you get most of your practices done on that little small field.
Right.
There are things that can be done. You need the width, but you don't need the length. You know, you don't have to run a 100-yard field. You can make it a 40-yard field, probably get everything done you want to work on.
Right.
But you still need the width of the field to practice all your alignments and your formations that you need to run. But, you know, there's a lot of things we need to do better. I don't know what the economic situation is in Powell County, but the leaders are supposed to get some of those things done. So we got to get out there and put pressure on them. Not that I don't support them and like them. This is a thing that you and I have talked about as announcers, sports people, or when you were at the paper. These are just some things we need to do as a community. And if it takes a little pressure to try to get some of that stuff done, then so be it.
But then when you realize, too, again, I've been here for over 30 years. At this point, though, some of the same issues when I first came here still exist. And it's like, how have we not addressed those issues? It doesn't matter whether it's the the water issue, the sewer issue, whether it's the facilities issue, like how do these things not get done over time? And lack of a vision of the people will perish, and not that we're perishing, but we're getting further and further behind everybody else because there's not a solid game plan.
We're not even making minor improvements.
We're not.
I mean, it's and I'm not knocking anybody. I'm not knocking our AD. I'm not knocking our principals. I'm not knocking the superintendent board. But collectively, look at it. Yeah, we're hopefully the new school will get started here soon. We'll see. I understand, you know, we are about education, but sometimes you got to add other things to get pride, community spirit, a little bit uplifted. But this is the same discussions we've had my entire teaching career, and that was started the first year of football. I was on the we were all middle school coaches at the time. We started the program. That was my first coaching gig, was in 1988, as far as a paid coach. But I look at the whole picture and it's like, where have we gone? The bleachers were already there. The press box was already there.
Right.
You know, like I said, we added on to the weight room, but it was just a small add. We just haven't gone real far. You know, the gym probably needs a new floor. I mean, we got some weak spots in the floor. Let's fix it. You know, the upper gymnasium needs some overhaul. We get to walk those steps to the press box, and those are
rough,
ridiculous
on anybody.
So, I mean, there's some things we need to do to make things better. And I get it, when you got a facility already there, it's hard to change some things, but it can get done.
But even as we've talked, as far as like if they get around to building the new elementary school, and you and I have mentioned this, as far as a gym, it needs to be floor wise. I don't care about the seating.
Nope.
Floor-wise, it needs to be a high school floor just for the sake of freeing up more space to allow different teams to come in there and do that. Again, you can put bleachers in to seat 400 if that's the student population, but build a larger floor for the school system in general to where you have more opportunities for other teams to play.
I love coaching with my buddy Ken Jones, and I retired in 16 and left him. But one of the reasons that I wanted to get out of coaching at that time was I hated, and I'm not knocking anybody, it was like, you know, you have boys practice, girls practice, cheerleading, that all fight for the gym time in the fall. You got other teams that want to use the gym time when nobody's in there. So if you want gym time, it starts at 9:30. If you want your JV or freshman teams to practice extra, it starts at 9:30. When we're bringing kids into the gym to practice that late on a school night, somebody should be raising total chaos to someone.
Correct. It's way too late.
Way too late to start a practice session. Now, granted, I get people wanting to practice, and then you got one gym to get it done. If you had to, you still probably have to shower now with the elementary and figure out their schedule for that gym. But you got your boys and girls practice go on the same time. If your cheerleader went first, that's fine, or whoever, but guess what? Everybody's finished by probably 7:30. More time to do your schoolwork if you've got any. More time to, if you've got a job, go do your job, whatever that may be, but you have more time to go out and concentrate maybe education, if that's for lack of a better word. Keep the parents off the roads late, keep the kids off the roads late. That's a win-win. Again, I just didn't like the, you know, go home for 2 hours and sit. You can't even relax because you got to go right back and practice for 2 hours and then call it a night. You know, stick around for 30 minutes, talk, and by the time you get home, it's 9:30, 10 o'clock. Okay, it's time to go to bed, you know, and you don't even really have any downtime. So those are the things that if you're a high school coach, that's what you've got to look forward to. And it's not pleasant. I know now, like, for example, you know, boys basketball got it pretty good because most of the early practices they get, because Rob works out of town, so he gets most of the lates. Then mix in a cheerleading, and sometimes they'll go early, sometimes they'll go middle, sometimes they go late. But late is around 7:30. It's not fun to go in at that time when you're not getting out at 8:30 or 9. So there's always usually someone in that time slot. I know when you play games, it's 9 o'clock when you get out of there, but you shouldn't have practice to get out of there at 9. That just should never happen.
On a school night.
On a school night. But anyway, different story. We'll probably talk more about it again in a minute. But anyway, we'll step away from a break and try to change gears from the playoffs to the problems to
basketball.
To basketball. Here we go.
Protect Security and Fire Systems. Your security is our business. Visit the Fowl County Sports Network page at WSKVFM.com.
With Whitaker Bank's new home equity line of credit, qualified applicants can borrow up to 90% of their home's value with no closing costs. With Whitaker Bank's home equity line of credit, you only pay back 1% of your balance monthly, and you process your withdrawals with Whitaker Electronic Banking. Stop by Whitaker Bank and see how our new home equity line of credit can help you. Whitaker Bank proudly supports your Powell County Pirates. Whitaker Bank is uniquely Kentucky, member FDIC, and an equal housing lender.
Count on Clark Regional Medical Center for quality health care close to home. It's why we're here, providing compassionate, personalized care whenever you may need it, so you, your family, and our community can all thrive. Because no matter where you are in life, nothing is more important than your health. Clark Regional Medical Center, from the routine to the unforeseen. Count on us. Learn more at clarkregional.org.
Welcome back. Showing Ken the Wolf County rendering while we were, again, it's 11,000 square foot multipurpose auditorium. Again, all the things that it has, we'll kind of mention again here. It's got a theater with state-of-the-art sound, a stage, lighting, accommodate concerts, band performances, full-size basketball floor, full-size volleyball court, three 70-foot batting cages, weight room and strength training space. Again, look forward to the project come to life. Again, they're on Facebook on their page, and you look at the drawings, man, it looks
really nice.
Wouldn't that look nice with red and black?
It would.
The blue, not knocking them, but it's just congratulations, Wolf County. Good job, Kenny Bell and Wolf County, for getting it done there. Again, it's just you just kind of wonder how much would 11,000 square foot multipurpose auditorium cost. It's one of those, looks like it's one of those metal buildings. Not knocking that at all.
Right.
Same thing down at Clark County. Their indoor facilities, all, it's a metal building. I just wonder,
even in Lee County.
Yeah, I don't.
Right.
I don't
their facility.
Think they're that expensive. Right. I could be way off. I'm sure if you had all the nice amenities that they're adding, then it gets a little pricey. But I think you probably get that done for less than $250,000.
And I'd like to think,
but I may
maybe
be wrong.
And like you said earlier, maybe there's a grant out there to do something like that, and or maybe even some of the local businesses. Not that they don't give all the time, because they do, but in general terms, just sitting there thinking, like, collectively, can we not find a way to, using the $250,000 as the, a figure, can we not find enough people to chip in? And, well, let's start a GoFundMe page for that.
Well,
matter.
I mean, I think if you figure out the square footage prices now that we're seeing, you're talking about 140 to 200 square foot for a home. I know this type of building is probably a bit higher, but it shouldn't be too much over that. I would think,
it's top, mostly open spaces.
Top 400,000. Right? I would think that would be absolute ceiling of it. And if you could get that done for $400,000, I mean, even at that price, it seems like it would be reasonable enough to look for the investment. Again, I'd like to see what the prices are. I'd like to maybe call Kenny, Robert Scott, some of those guys up there and say, what's this going to cost you guys,
Right.
Again, that's how you start looking for something. Just, what are you guys paying for it? Maybe we can try to get something like that done. Again, it's going to take some money, some funding. I know we don't have a lot of extra money right now in the district, but in the future, you got to plan ahead. And this is something that would even, like, you can almost eliminate the exercise elementary gym if you had a facility like this. To offset that, maybe you get this along with
right
your elementary school. Don't even put your take away the gym from the school, put something like this in, and guess what, you still get served for this, and you can still use the Stanton Elementary gym for your athletics for your elementary school, but you still get this.
I've broken down the math in my head. So let's say, for instance, you do the $400,000. Well, at this point, let's just say you put it on a 5-year plan. Well, we need, at $10,000 a month, that's $120,000 a year. That gets you to $400,000, right? Well, at that point, that's $500 a day. is what you would need to raise, right?
So the employee.
Well, I'm just saying, right, at that point, though, at $500 a day that, you know, you could raise, well, again, if you do a GoFundMe page, just as the example, or start up a foundation and people can start making donations, what, in 5 years we can have that.
If you,
in theory.
If you put something like that out there, and again, people would complain, well, the school should be doing it versus us. We're paying for the taxes anyway, right? That's what they're going to say.
Sure.
But if someone started, you still have to have the school, has to get it approved, has to go through BG1 committees. That might raise the price up because now you got to go through all the red tape.
Right.
Schools cost more because you need them, not because they're niceties. This gets done because you want it. We'll do it for this. Take it or leave it.
Right.
We'll take it. We'll take whatever to get it done. So I think there's you gotta turn some screws sometimes on people. If you're the soup, you go up and say, look, we're gonna build this school, but you're gonna put this in too for an extra $50,000. You're gonna add this one to it and see where we go. You know, and it may surprise you how much you get.
I'm not saying that school employees would want to do this. But again, let's just assume that there's 500 school employees. If you did $1 a day, $5 a week, $20 a month in 5 years, you could collect that money. That's not counting anybody outside of potentially the school system. Again, I'm just saying, like, it's feasible. We just have to get the people together to come up with the plan and put it into action as opposed to sitting around like we're doing.
That would work. But, you know, we've been so many years since Powell County has a lot of raises. This year they got a little bit of a raise. First time I can remember one like this since 1990-91, which as a young teacher I got about I might have got 0.75%, and others got 20. I got more when I got older, but now this was actually flipped. They got more at the younger side than the older side. Now they're even. If I would have been on the pay scale changes on the two ends, I might have got a 3% raise over 35 years of working. But it's too long for teacher raises.
Way too long, of course.
So I'm not saying that we should allocate it differently. I'm just saying I think there's money that they could use to find this. Had they wanted to go about this a few years ago, and I think Dr. Orr didn't want to go this route, with the COVID money, but other districts have used their money exactly for things like this. And that's why a lot of things have gotten done here in the last 2 or 3 years is because people have spent their money differently than we did.
Right. Well, again, the math, we just need 500 people to donate $1 a day. You know what I'm saying? And in 5 years, in 5 years though, you have the money available. Hey, and I'm not saying that people want to donate money or anything to get involved or anything, but you have to start somewhere.
There may
unless
be
we
corporate
come up with a
people
plan.
Who would maybe want to invest that kind of money.
There could be.
You got to go ask.
Correct.
You know, I mean, you may get your name on something, but give it, I don't care whose name's on it, just we got to get it done.
Well, I'm going to mention this only because we've had this conversation up in the press box, James Clapp. You know, all of a sudden when the Powerball or whatever else was like $100 million or whatever it even was, you know, close to $1 billion, however much that price was. But anyway, he ended up making a comment, you know, if he won or whatever else, then he'd do the facilities or whatever else, which would be great, right? Because at that point, you know, $1 million, $2 million, I mean, you could completely redo
a lot of things. It,
correct, a lot of things. And
well,
that would be just be a
the
drop
school's
in the bucket.
$30 million. But for $1 million,
You could almost
do all your athletic facilities for that.
Correct. And obviously if you had two or whatever it would be, regardless, opportunities out there, whether it's corporate, individual, setting up a funding, a foundation, a something to funnel money through to start doing some type of something. Because we can sit around and talk about it all day, but until people in those places, in those positions.
You and I have a different perspective than normal taxpayers because we're also board employees. Our perception is we understand the blocks. The normal citizens don't always get the barriers.
sure, the hoops and all that you have to jump through, the red tape.
But we at least have a little bit of the knowledge. Maybe we don't have all the knowledge, but we have more than some do. And so some of the things I understand why we don't, or why we don't choose. I don't, you know, I would not have agreed with Dr. And I like Dr. Orr. Don't get me wrong. I like Dr. Orr. I wouldn't have agreed with him as far as athletic facilities, because he didn't really care for athletic facilities or extracurricular activities. He's more focused on just pure education, and I get it. But man, I want somebody just want to just push the daylights out of athletics, and we got to get better. Maybe we don't win more. Maybe we're not as successful. I don't know, but man, it's kind of embarrassing to go other places, and it's so nice other places. You know, when we roll into Ledger Central softball, and I'll tell people this, look, they spent good money at Estill County, and great job. Estill County's got one of the nicest playing fields in the region for softball. But their facilities still don't even come close to Letcher Central's.
Parking is probably their biggest issue.
But their press box is massive.
Yeah.
Not that you have to have a huge press box, but theirs is really nice. Their concession stands, and again, Estill's is nice now, a lot better than it was. Their bleachers are better than they were. Like I said, the playing service, you can't beat that. But you couldn't beat it before you fixed it. So
right.
Theirs was a good playing service prior to. And, you know, Estill, I think, put the money where they should have. And we went to Prestonsburg, played the city schools. They played on the city parks where they had turfed all the infields. I understand people not liking the turf infield. But as a coach, as a, someone who has to go do the lines and make sure that your field is drug, and man, the labor you don't have to do, we're talking 2 to 3 hours per day. And our field is not in the best shape, but I know one thing, I spend about 2 or 3 hours a day on it, and it's bad. So if that goes to show you,
right,
you cannot take a field and have it a good field without spending time. I just don't think people understand the time you put in to get a field ready for a game, to prep it. You got to start the night before. You finish your game, you got to fix it back. It takes 30 to 45 minutes. We do it every game with the girls. I know the parents have to wait on us to get finished, but guess what? If we don't do this, it's trash tomorrow.
Right.
Now it takes me longer than 2 hours to get ready. So, it's a daily process. If you have a turf field, guess what? We just go play. Man.
I think you have to vacuum it every once in a while.
Every once in a while, but not as often as you think.
But the upkeep, yeah.
I mean, I talked to Coach Varney. I've talked to some of the coaches that have the turf field. Just like, man, we just go play. You know, no more lines, no more. You can spend more time prepping. You can do some other practice stuff. You don't have to worry about your field as much.
Right.
And that's just, I'm not saying that you don't, but that's the reason we want a turf football field. What I hear from the players, they really don't want it. They want grass. They want natural. You know, soccer. They'd rather have the natural. But for wear and tear and for upkeep and for the expense you pay for grass, to get it good, you can't. Not for what you want. You have to almost do turf. And I understand people are coming down with more injuries or whatever, maybe. And if it's because of turf, okay, maybe I go backwards. But for a high school that doesn't have enough practice facilities, when you got two seasons of soccer, fall and spring, middle school, high school, one season of football. You know, the band would love to get out there more and practice their stuff because they compete on football fields.
Right.
That would be a perfect place for them to practice versus the high school parking lot on the blacktop when it's 95 degrees outside. They're there for 6 hours. It'd be nice to have the football field to go to and have their practice session. I don't know. There's just a lot of things I would think I would try to do, but I understand if you get in that office, then maybe you just flat can't. I mean, it just, but I think I would try.
But the track, as you mentioned, it's not good. The football field, the way that it slopes, and
they fixed a little bit of that a few years ago, but they poured $20,000 into that thing and didn't do a whole lot to it, and you wouldn't have thought nothing. I mean, that's just a few loads of dirt.
Again, when you look at those situations, though, the fact that it's not been upgraded, it's not large enough for soccer. Again, we're limiting our ability to host, you know, different events, and that's unfortunate. And it's difficult even for us sometimes when football or soccer is going on to even realize, like, because of the lines being faint, you know, or down in the right-hand, upper right-hand corner, you know, it's like, okay, they in there.
Because they don't do it daily. They probably do it weekly. And if you mow a couple of times during the week, guess what happens to your paint lines?
Yeah, they're gone.
They're gone.
Yeah.
I mean, you get a couple of rains right off the paint. I mean, it is what it is, but it takes normally, if you've got a crew of 10, you can probably knock it out in 4 hours. But if you've got a crew of 2 or 3, it's going to take all day long to get it right. And I'm not talking as easy work. It's just, yeah, it's pushing a paint sprayer, but to do it right, man, you got to be meticulous with it. It's not something that you just throw down lines.
Well, not only are you walking 100 yards up, coming back 100 yards the other way,
120,
but
right?
But now you're cutting across
55.
You know, you're doing those, you know, the lines all the way across, but then you're doing
the hashes.
You're that correct?
I mean,
yeah,
it's not simple, and I think if you take all that into perspective. Turf it's already there. It's done. Let's go with it. It's just whatever. But that again, this is, I think all three of us, you and I and Clapp, all said, okay, if we win this lottery tonight, we'll all do the same
thing. I 100% would.
And,
absolutely.
And I think we all.
Why would you not? Just
I
saying.
Mean, I know,
you know
we
if
all
you win.
It.
I'm just saying, if you win, you know, $250 million,
what's
a
like,
million or two?
Obviously, you're talking about generational money, so a couple million dollars won't hurt you at all.
Correct. Dropping the bucket under those circumstances, right?
You know, you still got to invest wisely, but
that's not to say that you couldn't even start a foundation or whatever else and
throw
a million
interest in, right? Put $1 million in that raw interest,
even
at 2%.
Right. Take out your $20,000 a year to maintain whatever it is you need to do, and therefore you've always got money. Correct. You've always got money, but that's maybe it's a pipe dream. I don't know, but I would still like to see some community leaders to be able to step up.
What is it they always call it? The leaders always say. We love to have more transparency. Show us the transparency, what you're asking for, what you're getting, what you're not getting. I know we can go down and request open record stuff, but that's almost like rude because does this mean not believing what you're telling me? Or I mean, you know what I'm saying? If you're asking for open records, you're probably doubting some information you're getting, right?
Well, at that, people become offended because when I worked at the newspaper, you know, the publisher always wanted the salaries for school employees.
I remember it in the paper.
And at that point, I said, but if you're going to do school employees, why are we not doing the road department? Why are we not doing fiscal court? Why are we not doing the city of Stanton? Like, why are we not, if you're going to do public employees, why are we not doing all of them? Why are we
all
just
tax,
picking up?
All tax-based
yes,
government.
Why are we? Why are we just doing the school board? And people would take offense at it because at that point, you know, your salary's being shown and, you know, you don't want people to know that or whatever else. Kind of, it is what it is, but at the same time, people are offended when you start making those requests,
well,
no matter what it is.
The salary schedule is known. If you're 20 years, rank, whatever, this is what you get, right?
Yeah.
Now, if you're stopping out a couple of things, yeah, you're going to see an increase. Trust me, if you're a coach and you're making, and I think they do a decent job paying coaches here, but when you average it out, how much that would be over an entire season? Pennies to the dollar. I mean, you're not making.
No, because a lot of times you're actually potentially buying students a meal.
Yeah.
Those that don't have money when you're traveling.
Every trip.
Correct. Again, there's a lot more out of pocket expenses than what people realize.
Yeah, you're never going to, as a coach, never going to let a kid go hungry. I mean.
Right. Of course.
They may just always just refuse to eat, but you know, there's always the kid on the bus. I don't want anything. You're going to get something. I don't want anything. And why do they not want anything? Maybe they don't have money. Maybe they don't want anything. I don't know.
I'd say a majority of the time they don't have the money, therefore they're going to make it seem like that they don't want.
If you got, you know, if you got 40 games and you get 20 on the road, even stopping at convenience, and they're probably the most expensive places to stop.
Sure, right.
Each kid's probably going to spend 10. If you stop at, you know, if you stop at Wendy's or McDonald's, you're probably going to spend 8. You will probably spend less than at that fuel stop, you know, wherever that is, but you know, the prices are just, they're marked up, and that's just what it is. You know what you're getting when you go there. It's just convenient to stop quickly and go on.
True. Yeah, you're right.
You know, we get out in 10 minutes versus 30. So again, with bus delays, and as long as with the shortage of drivers, and departure times and all the other stuff you throw in, it just makes it a long and tough season to get home in time to get ready for school the next day. Again, it's all a part of the same picture. You know, it's you'd like we don't have more drivers. You'd love to have more to say, okay, we're going to leave at 3:30. No, we're not going to leave about 5. You know, right. It is what it is. So,
but our community definitely has issues, and unfortunately, the left hand, the right hand, the left foot, the right foot, like nobody. I don't feel like this is strictly my perspective. I don't feel like that there's enough communication collectively with the Board of Ed and the fiscal court, and then the city. You know what I'm saying? Okay. To where we can collectively come together and let's develop a plan.
I'll give you a perfect example of that today. What happened today? Did you know about what happened today?
No, I don't know.
Did you see what happened when you came in today? The road.
Correct. Tearing it up. Right.
Tearing it up. They were tearing up this morning.
Yes.
On the way to school. Buses are late. They're backed up. Nobody knew. Now, if the school knew and didn't relay, or if the company just started and didn't let the school know, somebody dropped the ball somewhere.
Correct.
I don't know. I don't know who that was, or maybe he is.
Lack of communication.
Somewhere. I mean, even it didn't get relayed from the board. It didn't get relayed from the construction company. Somebody didn't relay something to somebody. Or you don't maybe have this backup without knowing about it.
Right.
So things like that are exactly what you're talking about. That's a big project. That's going to affect buses getting to school, parents getting to school on time, attendance. Affects all of that.
Right.
If you know beforehand, let everybody know what's going on. Maybe I go the back way.
True. And or maybe I just tell the company, look, you start at 8:15, right?
After
you're
we
fine.
Get there.
Correct. Yeah, start at 8:15. At that point, the people are already late. You know,
That's what I'm saying. I don't really think there was that line of communication, but there should have been.
Again, we're not pointing fingers. It's been this way as long as I've lived here.
It just seems like it repeats itself.
It does. And again, we're apparently not learning from history.
No, we don't learn.
Yeah, we keep repeating, unfortunately.
Okay, we'll step away from another.
And I'd like to announce running for. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, no, it's,
I'm just kidding.
Welcome to PCSN Live, the place to complain, right?
Yeah. Well, at least for tonight.
At least,
okay, we've done it in the past before, too.
About every week. Stay tuned for the next round on PCSN Live.
Since opening in 1972, Citizens Guarantee Bank has been there to help our customers enhance their lives and achieve their dreams. With 7 locations across Central and Eastern Kentucky today, we are celebrating 50 years of being there for the communities we call home. Citizens Guarantee Bank is now CG Bank. New name, same commitment to being there for our neighbors. CG Bank, we've been there for that. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Toyota South in Richmond is moving forward. Family owned and operated since 1915. Meet General Manager Charlie Johnson.
I was raised right here in Powell County by my grandparents. They taught me to be honest and treat others with courtesy and respect. And that's what you can expect from me. I would like to personally invite you to take the short drive to Toyota South in Richmond. Whether you're looking for a new or used vehicle, as General Manager at Toyota South, I will make your short drive well worth your time. Come see me soon at Toyota South in Richmond.
Toyota South in Richmond. Online at toyotasouth.com or call their friendly staff at 877-605-4326.
New driveway, parking lot, or large aggregate need? Hinkle Contracting Company specializes in all things crushed aggregate. They provide expert delivery and more, depending on size of application. Call Natural Bridgestone today at 606-663-2815 or Tipton Ridge Quarry at 606-723-4881 or find out more information at hinklecontracting.com. For all of your asphalt and aggregate needs, think Hinkle Contracting Company.
Trust the emergency department at Mercy Health, Markham and Wallace Hospital, when an emergency strikes. We offer full-service emergency care 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We have X-ray, CT, and lab services on site for assessing, diagnosing, and treating patients quickly. The emergency department is a level 4 trauma center where you can expect expert care, quicker treatment, and improved outcomes. You can feel safe to come to the hospital campus. Following CDC guidelines, our providers and care teams are doing everything possible to ensure your safety and well-being. Choose the emergency department at Mercy Health, Markham and Wallace Hospital in Irvine.
When you need insurance, contact Whitaker Insurance Group in Stanton, proud sponsors of the live broadcast of your Powell County Pirates on Pickup Country 104.9 FM.
I tried to take an extra break, and it was only one spot.
That was it, one spot. That's all right. We got more to say.
I didn't program it. Anyway, we've got, we'll get back to normalcy for a few minutes anyway.
Until this brings up another issue.
High school basketball season, again, last night they kicked off Red White Night, which is a yearly thing where they introduce all the players, the cheerleaders, the band. I was there middle school. I was there last night for that. Well, I'm sorry. I was there for part of that. They did a tribute to Ken, and I went for that. That was my, that's just selfish to say, but I went solely for that moment. I did get to see the high school basketball, girls basketball team introduced, the jazz or the band introduced, the pep band, and then stayed for the Ken, thing, and they had a nice video presentation, and they presented Maude and Hannah and the rest, Missy and the rest of the family and Missy with a jersey signed by the players, and actually come over, got myself and Megan to sign. I guess we're getting some former players and coaches on there that were there, and presented that with Maude again. They put a banner up in the gym as a permanent place for the banner that you'd already seen. Now it's in a permanent spot in the gym, and it's hanging where the family can see it, where everybody can see it, and hopefully remembers Ken. Again, put a lot of time into Powell County High School, and will be missed. And again, that's and again, we didn't do any broadcast. We have found that it's not the easiest to try to broadcast. Introductions
isn't. It's a long 3 hours.
It's a long night, and if you don't have people who want to come up and do interviews while the others are playing, you let the game roll. You just have interviews while they're doing that. But normally they don't want to do that. They want to mingle with their friends and talk a little bit because it's a little bit different environment.
Right.
So we have learned that it doesn't really work well for radio.
It does not. And as unfortunate as that is, it's hard to fill in all of that time.
You think we would have a hard time, right?
Repeating yourself.
We would just do the same thing again last night.
Well, that could
another
be true,
PCSN
too.
Moment.
Well, obviously, we've done it.
We have.
Yeah, we've done it. But it goes back to sometimes if I'm up in the booth and you're downstairs and it's so loud that you can't hear in your headset and we're having to communicate with signs, hand signs.
Yeah. And it's hard. Know? We're wrong. Yeah, off the air. What? I don't know what you're saying.
Right.
Yeah,
it's hard. It's a very difficult thing to do. It'd be one thing if we were down on the floor where we could control everything, and then we could get those people to talk with us. But again, everybody's so consumed with what's happening on the floor that they don't have time for us.
And I get that. And they got their own thing going. And
yeah,
again,
understandable.
But it was a nice presentation with the Jones family. You know, the video was really, really well done. The video of the girls players and the boys players. It was a mixture of all the athletes, the cheerleaders, the seniors, especially the video. And that was done well. And, you know, I commend all those who were involved in the process of making those videos and getting that out there for the kids. Things like that. You know, Ethan was there doing his thing. He was pretty much the PA guy and the DJ last night. So Ethan did a really good job, at least while I was there.
I assume
he still did a good job. But, you know, those are some of the things that Ethan goes above and beyond and probably didn't get a whole lot for it, except a big thank you, knowing Ethan. But anyway, you know, the kids enjoy it. It's a fun night for them. They get exposure. But we've only got now, it's the 15th. So we're two full weeks away for our first game.
Yeah, the 28th. Actually be the first game for both boys and girls. The girls on the 28th will be away at Perry County Central, and the boys will be at home hosting Morgan County. So we'll have that Morgan County game, the boys tipping things off on day one.
13 days to go before your first game. So, folks, it's kind of like this. This week is a regular week. Next week is Thanksgiving. We're there.
And then that following Tuesday.
And the following Tuesday we'll play. So we go on Thanksgiving break on a Tuesday. The following Tuesday we play. So We won't have PCS in live next week. We'll be spending time.
Because Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving. Yeah. So, but again, that's how close we are to the start. Just kind of want to throw it out there. Again, we will start with the boys here on the 28th. Wish the girls best of luck. The girls roster last night, they looked a little more players than what I had expected to play. Had a couple of middle school players. Still not what they used to have coming from middle school, but still had two.
10 or 12, at least 10 players as far as like that would be repeat players from last year.
And the one thing I like to see though, Ken, was this. When I was watching them warm up, all the girls were making left-hand layups with their left hand. Kudos, coaches.
Absolutely, yes.
Whether it was middle school coaches that worked with them, the high school coaches, whomever, pet peeve of mine for years.
Me too.
Let's shoot a left-hand layup on the left side. Let's shoot a right-hand layup on the right side. If you want to reverse, reverse, but you've got to work both hands.
You have to.
You have to work both hands. And kudos for the girls for getting it done. And that's one thing that, like I said, always kind of bothered me. But, yeah, some girls were just stubborn. They just wouldn't shoot them the other hand. But again.
But if you want to go next level.
You have to.
And you want to be extraordinary instead of just ordinary in basketball, you have to be able to go left and right equally. And I get you have a dominant hand, but you still have to be able to be effective going either direction.
I still remember one name that always just stands out to me who did this so well. It's Ilya Hunt.
Sure.
Broke her right arm. And went home, and all she did was dribble the basketball.
Left-handed.
And she came out the next season. I'm telling you what.
Completely different player.
Completely different.
Yeah. So much improved.
Yes.
Yeah.
She was decent with her left hand, but she was good with her left hand after the fracture of her right arm. I'm not saying go out and break your right arms. I'm just saying.
Practice.
But if you do, unfortunately, break a right arm or right hand, go work on the left hand.
Okay, do you actually realize that within the brain, let's use as an example, brushing your teeth, if you're right hand dominant, you're going to use your right hand, right? But if you switch it up and start using your left hand to brush your teeth, things start happening inside the brain that make connections that aren't normally there. If you start, again, using that left hand, even if it's eating, right? Switch your knife, you know what I'm saying, your fork and all that, start eating left-handed again. There are things that happen in the brain. It is hard to do, but yet you train your brain to pick up on that, and then guess what? It becomes easier without you even consciously even being aware. All of a sudden, you just now I just know it, right?
Well, I know I have had to do that a couple times with my shoulder surgery. I've had to go to the – it's hard. I mean, it's once you've had issues, and I tell you, when you – the mundane, the things that you don't even think about is a big deal.
Of course.
When you don't have that dominant side.
Right.
Is a big deal.
But you're forced into using the non-dominant. Yeah. But then when you're finished, you almost become ambidextrous.
Almost. I mean, here's the thing, like with me, I know I tell people this sometimes, like, do you shoot pull, ever shoot pull?
Yes.
Right-handed or left-handed?
Right.
See, I cannot even pick up a stick right-handed.
No. I can shoot left.
It's so awkward to be even pick up a stick. I'll always go to my left hand for
interesting.
I mean, I'm a shooter. I shoot a gun left-handed. I shoot a bow left-handed.
We've talked about that. Yeah.
So, but dominant. My dominant side is my right side. But I wonder, you know, even hitting, I'll get in the cage sometimes and take some swings, and I'll make as much contact with the left side. I just don't hit it as hard.
Correct, and I'm the same way. But at the same time, for me, left-handed batting, left-handed seems more natural for me. I can't explain it.
I just think sometimes it's about your vision. When I used to go out and shoot a shotgun, it's like, okay, how do you hold the gun? Well, they'd always teach you right-handed. I'm thinking this don't feel right. Really didn't learn until I was older in college and took an archery class, and I started shooting, and I was missing my target maybe a foot, you know, from like 20 yards, whatever it was. So she said, let's do an eye dominance test. So we took the eye dominance test. I was left eye dominant. So we switched to left, which was actually really easy, I thought. And I made that when I was missing everything to the left. I'm hitting centers. I just switched hands. But, you know, most guns are made. Safety's on the right side for a right-handed shooter.
Yeah.
You shoot a right-handed gun, you know, the safety's on the other side of the trigger. It's dangerous to have the safety on the wrong side. So even for those people who do shoot with the offhand, you know, it's like anything else. Once you learn a way, it's hard to change. But again, if you're a basketball player, if you don't have both, and I've been asked to give scouting reports on certain players in the region and district for colleges, and I've given those scouting reports, and I don't do it like trying to knock someone out of a scholarship, but I always tell kids, this player was majority right hand. They will dribble left to go right. Not sure. Dribble left to go left. They will dribble left to go right. So I said, for you, what you want in the college level, decent player, but utilizes only one side.
Right.
They're not interested now. So you're not trying to knock a kid out, but you also, if someone asks
it's an honest opinion analysis.
If someone asks my opinion, they want to know. And we've had some really good players that I've seen, and just you watch and you write down the report and think, man, I got this is the same report I got from several other coaches. And you know, who am I? I've been around it and I can pick, and I visually think I should maybe been a scout of some kind for sports, and go out and you see players. A lot of times you see them and you know there's something special, just by watching. That's the eye test. Now they're using analytics versus the eye test. And I know some people look at, like, even baseball and softball, or especially baseball. If you don't throw 90s, you're not even looked at. And I still say, but Greg Maddux was one of the greatest pitchers of all time. And if he would try out now, he might not make a team.
He probably wouldn't.
That'd be a shame.
Not by today's standards.
And that would be wrong. You know, the guy maxed out at 92. That was his... Max Velo was 92 miles an hour. But, man, he was effective. Right. One of the best pitchers of all time. And I don't think it's just about velocity. I really don't. But that's where baseball has gone. It's kind of like basketball. If you can't dunk it six times, you know what I'm saying, in a game, or shoot the threes, you got better be able to dribble both hands, because most everybody's now going to the dribble drive. It just seems like it's everybody's doing that. But you got to be able to shoot outside, too.
And we've even talked as far as the kids in the off season, regardless of sport. If you're in football, you better be in the weight room, right? If you're in basketball, you better be learning, you know, dribbling with your left just as much as you are right, and taking those shots and all of that. And even at times, I realize we can come off, I know I can anyway, we can come off as being critical of players. But as an analyst, and you're just calling it out, if you're not blocking out, and I call you out saying if you don't start blocking out, they're going to dominate the boards, that's just calling it as we see it. If you're not making free throws, you better spend some more time in the gym shooting free throws in order to improve that skill set. You can't just show up on the floor. As an example, the UK women, they got beat by Austin Peay. UK's women, 2-0 on the season, Austin Peay 0-2, and got beat by a Division II team, Austin Peay did. The UK women, they got beat by Austin Peay. My point being is that team showed up to play, and UK probably thought, well, oh, we're 2-0, they're 0-2. We got this.
Look at the men's team, though. You played Kansas last night, number one in the country. Kentucky comes in at 17. You played a couple of really log halves, right?
Sure.
Come out, maybe play the second half or whatever. Well, last night you played a really good first half. They didn't shoot real well the second. Defense probably let down a little bit and lose that game.
They had a seven
lead. Gave it a three at the end of the half. I think that was huge at the first half.
Oh, yeah, that three was a dagger.
But then to lose by five is like, I went to sleep. I went to bed and I went to sleep before it was over.
It was too late.
D comes back. I said, who won? She said, Kansas. I said, you got to be kidding. We had a five lead. I know it was less than 4 minutes to go.
Yeah.
We still had a lead. I'm thinking, surely we'll hold. But we didn't finish.
No.
Blame whoever you want to blame on that one. That's fine. I didn't see the last five, so I really don't know what happened. But that team, if they can play that well with, quote, the number one team in the nation,
and
they should play with anybody, but they didn't. They haven't shown up like that.
And without three bigs.
Yeah, when they
that are injured.
When they coming.
Well, there's different ones that are on different time frames. But again, if all of a sudden, okay, UK can't stop Dickinson. Right, but at that point, though, you put in one of our bigs to offset him a little bit. I'm okay with the result last night. Dude, I don't like to lose.
That was a fun. But wasn't that fun to watch though?
But But again, this early on as a test, and we only lose by five. You know what I'm saying? The number one team. Like, okay,
to me,
that's
the share of the ball, the way they shared the ball.
A couple of bonehead plays at the end, some threes.
I didn't see it. Like,
yeah,
I said,
some
I didn't
threes
see
that shouldn't have been
but
shot,
I thought,
air balls.
I thought they played really good basketball for a bunch of young kids. Reed Shepard, early on, I thought was playing phenomenally, played really well early. A couple of the kids, I didn't even know who they were. I'm like, man, I love to watch this kid play.
Even the start times, 9:30 start is way too late for these kids. I mean, they're college kids, you know, trying to stick to a schedule.
Listen,
to me, that's a problem, too.
Now that I'm back to work, 9:30 is getting close to Dave's bedtime. It's, you know, 10 o'clock, I'm usually ready to go. But that being said, man, I don't want to watch a game at 9:30.
Who does? Nobody
and they're late
does.
Getting started. They're 9:45 when they even started.
Correct.
So,
yeah.
You're going to half at 10:30. Even the major league games when the World Series is going on, I'm thinking I can't watch this game anymore.
Right.
It's just too late.
Who can stay up till midnight and have to get up at 6 the next
morning?
It's
the same as West Coast games when they're on in the regular season. I'm not watching the West Coast games.
Right.
If you're a Lakers fan, if you want to watch NBA, they don't come on till, you know, obviously. They want to get there at 8. It's 11 o'clock at our time.
Right.
You don't see those West Coast teams play. Same thing for college basketball. We don't see those guys until tournament time when they come to the East and play.
Right.
I mean, you don't see them, but that's just one of the things we have to deal with. But we'll take another break here. I think we're actually over time. We'll take a break and come back and wrap this up here on PCSN Live.
You deserve a bank that truly values you. At People's Exchange Bank, they pride themselves on providing personalized service that other banks just can't match. Whether you're needing a checking account, a home loan, or financial advice, our team of local professionals have you covered. Visit 53 East Pendleton Street in Stanton, or visit them online at pebank.com. Join their family of satisfied customers today and experience the hometown difference at People's Exchange Bank, where banking is about you. People's Exchange Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
At Wells Funeral Home, we have years of experience caring for families from all walks of life. Each family comes to us because they know we are leaders in our profession, dedicated to excellence in service, and have the highest integrity. Life is full of opportunities to show someone we love them. One such opportunity is the funeral or memorial service. Such a loving event celebrates the choices they made, the relationship you shared, and honors the memory of your loved one. Together, we will create a fitting and memorable event. Contact us today to discuss the possibilities. Call 606-663-9480 or visit us at 777 West College Avenue in Stanton.
Wrong one.
Oh, well, now
and
welcome back.
And then unmute the other one.
Unmute.
Number three.
He's not even talking. He's not.
There you go.
Anyway, welcome back. I didn't realize we were out of time. We're having so much fun here on PCSN Live, talking about everything together, which I know I was I wasn't very cohesive, coherent with all my thoughts tonight. That's anyway.
They followed along.
If you know me, you kind of know where I am, so I just kind of. I think it's better when it just comes off the top of my head.
Maybe what you and I need to do, and we've talked about this, maybe you and I just need some kind of, like, you know, 2-hour show where we're just, you know, randomness.
Random.
Right.
Random stuff.
Because we can definitely talk.
With Dave and
Ken. Let's do this, since we have people that are probably waiting for the Tim White radio
show.
Yeah, we're
not Tim White, but here you go.
Yeah, so let's wrap this up real quick. So, again, the Lady Pirates, November the 28th at Perry County Central, November the 30th at Jackson City, December the 2nd at Garrett County, and then their first home game December 4th against Wolf County. So, again, that's the girls. On the boys' side, December the 28th, Morgan County at home, then November the 30th at Williamstown. That's always a good game. I like that series that we have with Williamstown. This year it's actually away. And then on December 2nd, Augusta at Nicholas County in the Auto Owners GCH Insurance Classic. And then the next home game for the Pirates after the 28th will be December the 5th, big game against Montgomery County.
One question before we go off the air. Will we have another PCSN before we...
We'll have it on the 30th.
So we will have played the first game.
Or the 29th, yes.
Before we're back on the air.
Yes.
We will have something to say about the basketball teams.
We on Wednesday.
Back on
correct.
PCS and Live on the 30th of November. We will not be on next week. So use this time.
29th is the date that
extra
will be.
Time. Just put it forward to next week. And
maybe we'll try and have the boys team or the girls team on.
We will do our best to try to get someone on and speak to you. If not, we'll maybe talk to cheerleaders or something. That one of the sports groups that are in season at the moment at the high school. That's usually where we go first. We'll kind of point that out. Don't get mad at us middle school people.
Or we'll ramble.
Or I ramble, not Ken. he doesn't ramble. Anyway, thanks for listening to PCS and Live. We will not be on next week.
Again, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to all, and thank our sponsors, and a very good happy Thanksgiving to those guys. See you in a couple weeks.